Hello and welcome to Curiously Morbid, a podcast for the curiously morbid people out there. My name is Dean Osgood and I am joined by my dynamic, destitute, delightful co-host Danielle. Sorry, destitute was not the
Thanks.
Word.
I was like, destitute? Do you know what that means?
No, what does it mean?
Destitute's like unwanted and like unloved and stuff.
Oh mate, can I do that again?
No, that's hilarious. Keep it in. That's really funny.
The pressure gets to me when I try and think of the alliteration.
Today's episode is actually brought to our listeners by Wild and Wood. Okay, so Wild and Wood, they've got loads of products, but what they sent to us is some absolutely stunning bath milk. It's just, oh, it's beautiful. It smells nice. Your skin feels gorgeous afterwards. Like, I've got a bath with it probably like 3 days ago. Obviously, I've showered since then. But like 3 days ago, I got a bath and my skin is still like smooth and silky after it. So it is really high quality product.
It's and you vegan. Look like you're glowing as well.
Thanks, girl.
Yes. Did you just say vegan and cruelty free?
It's vegan and cruelty free.
That's what we need. That's what we like. We like companies exactly. That are vegan and cruelty free.
Exactly. I love it. So it's amazing. Everyone can use it. And they also sent us like little rose petals to put in the bath, which are adorable. And they sent us like little orange segments as well, which...
The orange are the things I'm most excited about.
I loved it. I had them on my eyes in the bath. I don't know if that's what you're meant to do with them, but I did. I had it like that. I just had them floating around me, making the bath smell nice. I had a great time.
You did?
I had a great time.
Yes. And if you want to see that picture of the bath, that sounds wrong. not Danielle in the bath, but a picture of the bath that was got all the lovely Wild and Wood things in. You can see that on Danny's Instagram page at @MissWaldron_. And where, if I want to get hold of some of this Wild and Wood, can I?
You can just go to Wild and Wood on Instagram. They are just simply at Wild and Wood. And then go and make your order on their website. They've literally got so many amazing things, like lots and lots and lots of products. They've got bath salts, loads of different things for aromas in the bath, just like really good products. So there's tons to choose from. And at the moment, new customer, they actually have a welcome code. So it's for I know, it's for 10% off. And it's just welcome, all caps, and 10 at checkout. So welcome 10.
Was that welcome, all caps, 10 at checkout?
Well, yeah, obviously not the word all caps. It's just in all caps. So just welcome 10.
So, get yourself down to Wild and Wood, get you some lovely pamper time, some me time, some mindful time, and use code WELCOME10. Thank you very much for sponsoring us today, Wild and Wood. Let's get on with the show. Danielle, I am so excited.
What are we doing this week, Dean?
Roswell. You know how I love an alien.
You do love an alien, to be fair.
And aliens love me?
Yeah, apparently so, yeah.
It's very clear. Oh, did I tell you what happened? So for the audience out there, we recorded this Roswell podcast a couple of days ago, but the audio wasn't very good.
Story of our lives.
We know. however, we went home and all I could dream about that night was aliens.
Oh, so it's on the brain. On the brain, baby.
On the brain. But I don't know whenever we talk about them, they come back and like abduct me or something.
Yeah, maybe they like stop talking about us, Dean.
Yeah, like come on, you're giving away our secrets. Roswell is either the biggest UFO crash in our living history or the biggest cover up by the US government in our history. And what's even more interesting is that the government have already confirmed that it is a cover up.
Right, okay.
Okay, and I'll get into it in a little bit more, in a little bit more detail. So, if you don't know what Roswell is, you're about to get the facts. So, in 1947, there was a crash just outside of Roswell, New Mexico. And it wasn't till a couple of days later that it was discovered. June 14th, 1947. And this is when the Roswell UFO supposedly crashed. Now, the first person on the scene was Mac Brezel, who was a rancher. And he describes arriving on the scene a few days later and seeing lots of metal materials, lots of almost wood and things that is hard to describe. Now, he describes this metal as being almost aluminium-like, and it was like really light that you could pick up. He also describes this metal as being pliable. By pliable, I mean that it would shapeshift in your hand, and then as soon as it stopped being heated up, it would go back to its original shape.
Yeah.
When Mac found the crime scene, the UFO crash site, he alerted local sheriff George Wilcox. George Wilcox then went, and there was a military base in Roswell, went and passed that information on. And the first kind of like military official, like higher up, to get the phone call was General Roger Ramey. And he sent a Major Jesse Marcel to the crime scene. I say crime scene, you know what I'm talking about. So he went out to the Roswell Desert and he come across this crash site and collect some of the materials. And he essentially said, well, this is a UFO. He said it out loud.
Yeah, that's like his first thought.
His first thought, oh my God, this is a UFO. This is a crash. He even went as far to tell that to the press.
Oh, so that's quite the statement.
That is a very statement. So the very next day, the Roswell Gazette had a headline, UFO crashes in Roswell Desert.
Can you imagine reading that? Like, you're just a random person in Roswell, and then you're like, what? A UFO crashed?
You'd be gutted, wouldn't you? Well, no, you'd be scared.
Well, I'd be like, one, why didn't I see this? Like, I'd wanna go and see
it. Yeah, you'd wanna go and have a look. But it did attract a lot of people.
Ah.
Okay, it did attract a lot of people to go and look at the crash site. And a lot of people, right, this is like a fun little side fact. A lot of people took things from the crash site.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And then the military went round to everyone's houses and demanded that they hand over what they took back.
Oh my God.
And threatened people with imprisonment or to be taken if they didn't hand it back. Now, one of the things is this metal, with this like shapeshifting metal, which is hard. However, so Marcel's been to the crash site. He's announced this. He's announced it to the press. He goes back and reports to his higher ups, and his higher up is Colonel Butch Blanchard. And he says, oh, shit, what have you done? what have you done?
Oh, for God's sake.
Oh, what a mess have you got us into? So he kind of comes down, and obviously the military's all over this. However, I will say this. He just said to the military, to the press, that it was a UFO. Now, a UFO is just an unidentified flying object. It doesn't necessarily mean alien, does it?
No, it just means that it's something that's in the sky and they're not 100% sure what it is. It doesn't mean it's like a flying saucer.
Yeah, it doesn't mean alien necessarily. But whenever we see UFO, we just go straight to alien, which is the correct thing to do. So his higher up, this Butch Blanchard, came and was like, oh my God, it's just a weather balloon.
Guys, chill out. It's a weather balloon.
It's just a weather balloon. So, it's important, but we'll come back to it later. So what happened was they kind of changed their story then and tried to get out through the press that it was a weather balloon. And there is a famous picture of the Roswell site in an office with the guy that said it was a UFO, Jesse Marcel, in the picture, looking over what appears to be like some plywood sticks and a bit of tinfoil.
Yeah.
Or for our Americans out there, aluminum foil. Not the materials that were necessarily described by the rancher that was on the scene or the people that went to look at the scene straight away. So it's kind of a bit dodgy. But they got Marcel to go and kind of say, oh, I made a mistake. It was a weather balloon. They needed it to come from his mouth because he was the one that got them into the mess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
However, there is also further controversy. In the picture, Marcel has in his hand a top secret document. And you know what you do with top secret documents? You just put them in a picture that's going out to the press.
Yeah, obviously.
But you don't hold them towards yourself. You hold them directly for showing the camera.
Yeah, obviously.
And now, you can't really see what is written on the document, because obviously it is the 1940s, cameras weren't very good, but a lot of people say that if you zoom in and clean up the film, that it says that there was two bodies recovered from the crash site. Could be aliens, could be Russians. That is the official timeline of what happened. It was a weather balloon crash. However, Danielle, there's lots of speculation, there's lots of controversy. It's going on for ages. This is by this point we're in now, this has been going on for, 60, 70 years?
Gotcha, yeah, ages.
But in our lifetime, well, in my lifetime, just before you were born in 1994, the government came out and said something.
What did they say?
They said, guys, listen, you know you've been kind of saying we covered Roswell up. Well, you know what? We did. They confirmed that it was a cover-up.
Oh, my God.
But not what you're thinking.
Oh, okay. So what's their story then?
So they had, the American government had a top secret project called Project Mogul. Now, Project Mogul was a way of detecting whether atomic bombs or missiles were being launched from long ranges. Now, they already had this technology where they could put microphones under the sea and they would detect vibrations in the sea to see if there was any launches of undersea missiles. And they thought if they were to put these microphones attached to balloons up in the air, that it might also detect air missiles coming.
Right, okay.
Which kind of makes sense. So it was a weather balloon, but it was a military weather balloon that had this technology on board that was detecting missile launches from places like the Soviet Union or the USSR?
Yes, that's it.
The USSR. So you can kind of see why they want to cover it up, because this is coming into the Cold War era, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
They don't want to get that out there. And that also gives credence as to why the military went around people's houses to get the materials back. But I don't necessarily know the best way to try and cover something up is by announcing that there was a cover-up.
I know. It's probably just because the speculation just wouldn't stop.
Yeah, and people already think there's a cover-up because it's aliens.
Yeah, I mean, and Roswell as well is one of those things. Like, there's a TV show, isn't there, called Roswell? And Roswell. It's all about it and things like that. And so, and there's, like, loads of other, like, TV shows, like, The X-Files have referred to it and things like that. So it doesn't go away. And, like, in the 90s, The X-Files the 90s? I feel like it was.
Yeah.
I feel like it was very, like, on a lot of people's minds back then and things like that.
And it still is. Roswell was probably one of the starting points of this UFO alien mania, really.
Yeah, yeah.
So, that's kind of the official story. But there's lots of other things as well. So, there's speculation that alien bodies were recovered from the UFO crash.
Oh, God.
And I'm inclined to believe it.
Oh, why?
Apparently, there is footage of an alien autopsy.
Okay.
Of these bodies that were taken from the UFO crash. There's this footage of an alien autopsy, and it's a 17-minute black and white film which was supposed to be taken in a military base. And it was released in 1995, so a year after they've announced the cover-up, by a London-based entrepreneur, Ray Santolini. So he said that this was an authentic autopsy of an alien body that was recovered from that crash in New Mexico. And he said he got the film footage from a retired military cameraman who wished to remain anonymous.
Oh.
That's already, like, a bit sketchy, isn't it? Oh, yeah. He wants to remain anonymous.
And, like, did he get it from him if he lives all the way? Like, I don't know, like, did he post it? Did he go and collect it personally?
No, so he collected it personally, and he didn't know that's what he was stumbling across. So it's when he was... he was road tripping across America, I think. He got given the footage there. It was kind of he kind of stumbled across it almost.
Right.
So Now, there was lots of things about this film, and people poked a lot of holes into it and said, do you know what, that is a complete hoax. There was things like there's a clock in the background that was completely on the wrong time that it should have been. It was on London time and not like New Mexico time. There was like discrepancies of like, I think at one point you can see a watch from the 90s in it when it's meant to be in the 1950s, like a digital wristwatch.
And see, I think it's very convenient that it came out like a year later. So to me, it seems like that probably came back about in the press, like really hot topic. And then he's thought, oh, I'm going to make this.
Yeah, and get his name known. And to be fair, he has got his name known, hasn't he? Yeah. So he alleged to have viewed this footage in 1992, so before the cover-up came out. But in 2006, he did admit that the film was not authentic.
Yeah.
So he said it was a hoax. However, he said it was a staged reconstruction of footage that he did see. And he said by the time he was ready to release the footage had become so deteriorated and unusable that it was just, you couldn't watch it. So he said that there were a few frames from the original video that he did embed in the film, but he's never ever specified which ones.
See, it just seems a bit too dodgy to me. Because it's like, surely you'd be like, right, look at these ones, see, look how authentic this is.
Yeah, because you would, wouldn't you? But he's never ever let the film be independently verified either.
There you go then.
But there is some credence to the fact that this film wouldn't have lasted 50 years. If you think of like the type, like, even film in the 90s, like it was so easily exposed if you like opened your camera wrong. This reel from that was 50 years old, I don't think would have been very good.
I mean, it depends though, doesn't it? Because we have like video footage from like the 1930s and stuff like that that's still all right now because it's like been looked after, and you'd think you'd really look after something that was that, you know, big.
Yeah, that crucial to this whole Roswell incident. But when that he must have made a lot of money off this, because in America, Fox Television broadcast the footage in a one-off special which was titled Alien Autopsy Fact or Fiction. And the programme literally caused a sensation. Time magazine said that the film had sparked a debate with an intensity not lavished on any home movie since the Zapruder film. And obviously the Zapruder film is the JFK assassination footage. So that's quite a big statement, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really big statement.
And there was so much demand for it. This was at a time when if you missed it on TV, you missed it on TV, wasn't it? So there was so much demand that Fox rebroadcast it twice more and it got higher and higher ratings each time.
That's crazy.
It had 11.7 million views and a 14% share of the broadcast time. Does that make sense?
That's really big for back then.
However, it's worth pointing out that in the original broadcast, parts of the autopsy were pixelated or edited out because of the supposed graphic nature. So really, Fox added to the whole fact that this could be real by pixelating things out.
Oh.
Yeah. Apparently the film, the unedited version of the film that had been wrecked, that he originally seen contained footage of the alien craft as well that you could see. But that's not on the footage that he had recreated, but he supposedly had seen it on the original footage.
Yeah. I don't know what I'm inclined to believe, because I feel like, what? I don't know. I feel like it's a very good sort of story that the USA have got for saying, yeah, it was a cover-up. And it does seem really logical, like, oh, well, yeah, that sort of stuff was going on at the time. Like, if you look at what we've just done in JFK, the CIA was trying to cover a lot of tracks all the time and, like, doing dodgy things. So I wouldn't put it past them to be doing that. But then why are they admitting 100%. To it? It's like...
And I kind of do believe that Santolini did see this film, you know.
Really?
Yeah. So when he declared that it was a hoax, almost, it was in 2006, and it was part of a Sky documentary. And do you know who the filmmaker, the guy that exposed this big massive footage? Who was the journalist that got the big news?
Who was it?
Eamon Holmes.
Was it really? Oh yeah. My god. I thought you were going to say, like, Trevor McDonald or something there, and I was like, what?
No, Trevor McDonald is a legend who would absolutely drill Santolini, like, Trevor McDonald's interview style is, like, brutal, whereas Eamon Holmes, I can imagine, is kind of just like, well,
a bit, like, nice. He doesn't believe in any of that either, he's not into all that Eamon Holmes.
No, so if you can watch that documentary, it's on Sky now. It's called Eamon Investigates Alien Autopsy. It's probably even on YouTube as well. And Eamon is saying to him, so it's a hoax, it's not real. And Santolini always changes his words and says it's a reconstruction. He says, and he says it really patiently, and he just insists that it's a reconstruction or a restoration.
Right.
So he doesn't ever call it a hoax himself. However, yeah. Do you know what just makes me howl? The fact that if it was a reconstruction, they reconstructed this in someone's living room in an empty flat.
I know, it's crazy that, isn't it? Like, oh, we're just going to do this little video.
And it was special effects, really, and they went to butchers and got, like, intestines to put in it and stuff.
That's insane. It's a lot of effort to go. I don't know, I just... A part of me is a bit like, oh, did you just... I don't know. I just don't... I can't... I need, like, more evidence than that for myself. Yeah. I mean, the whole Roswell crap, I think a lot of the stuff that happened with the actual witnesses and things like that, and then the military being so, like, right, we need to go and get this stuff back, that is all really suspicious.
Yeah.
And it's probably... I think the fact that, like, the original people thought, like, you know, oh, something's, you know, this is a UFO, it's a bit like, well, you can tell the difference between a UFO and a weather balloon.
Yeah, but also it's the 1940s, 1947. They haven't seen a lot, have they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And there was there was, in that year, though, a lot of sightings of UFOs, wasn't there? It was, like, heightened in that year for some reason.
There was. That's where we're starting to see the increase. But we're also coming into the time of the Cold War there.
Mm.
So there was probably lots of military tests going on.
Yeah, so they're like, whoa, what is that in the sky? And it could be, like, an American
Because there was thing. Even rumours that the Russians had invented a spaceship that was, like, a flying saucer-shaped that could travel at the speed of sound.
Oh, yeah, that could be possible then.
Yeah, so that there was those rumours as well.
Yeah, see, and it's the whole fact that it's just after the war, so tensions are really high because the Second World War's only just finished, and then obviously they go into, like, the Cold War, and I think America was probably really paranoid because obviously they dropped those nuclear bombs, which obviously, like, I don't think...
Changed the world.
It changed the world. I don't think the rest of the world would have been overly happy with that because it was so, like, shocking.
No one was happy with that.
I think everything they did do after then, they would probably be really covering their tracks with it. And, you know, like, being careful. I think they were watching the backs because they were paranoid because they had done something that you can't just take back.
And they were playing the cards close to the chest, especially when it comes to the type of... military devices, military things that they were doing. And I can imagine this Project Mogul weather balloon was probably to the brim with the latest technology. So it might have looked like a UFO.
Yeah, it might have.
If you've seen all, like, the latest technology just suddenly in the middle of a field, you'd be like, oh my god, that's aliens.
Yeah.
I would. That's the first thing I'd jump to. Aliens! Oh my god, they've come back for me! Oh, take me!
They've come back!
Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, no, I totally know what you mean. I don't know. A part of me thinks, oh, it probably was just to do with that. But obviously those sort of first, and especially it's like the officer person who was like, this is a UFO. And then it was in the paper the next day. And then it was like really quickly, like, get that out of the paper. So I don't know.
Do you know what makes me suspicious?
What?
This metal that they talk about, the shape-shifting
metal. Yeah, well, because it's like, we don't really have anything like that even now, so...
No, that's open to public, though, isn't
it? Yeah, so that's what I mean. So it's like, well, what was that?
Also, this crash happened on the eve of a lot of invention.
Yeah,
which makes it more suspicious. Like, suddenly in the 50s and 60s, the microwave came along.
Yeah, so we got like these new little bits. It's like, oh, where were they from?
How did we get this technology? Who invented it? Like, really? Like, the microwave is the thing that no one really talks about. But that is madness. The fact that I can put food in a box, press some buttons, and then that food is hot really quickly.
I feel like a scientist would probably just be able to go, oh, well, this is why. And make us look really stupid.
It's because of the microwaves that vibrate. They vibrate the liquid, and the vibration of the liquid, the kinetic energy, heats the food up, and that's how it happens.
Oh, right, okay.
So there is the scientific explanation. I remember that from science. Wasn't that a good explanation from me?
That was really good. I don't remember anything from science.
But that's why they advise, like, and this is an American thing, heating water up in a microwave.
Yeah. That's so weird.
They advise against it because it's so volatile. And it gets really hot so quickly. And sometimes when you get it, it like explodes or can fracture the cup you put it in. And I understand that we understand the science behind it.
Yeah.
And understand how it works. But that's not to say that originally that it wasn't alien technology.
Yeah. No, yeah. No way.
And there's also reports of there being, on that original video that Santolini's seen, there being lots of alien artifacts, like a control panel where that opened doors where you had to put your fingers on, but it was six fingers. But after that as well, we started getting things like fingerprint recognition to open things, retina recognition.
I mean, that's why I might be a little bit inclined to sort of believe that maybe it was a crash, and maybe those things with the weather balloons were just going on at the same time. So they were like, oh, we can actually just say it was that because we were actually doing that.
Yeah, we were actually being dodgy. So let's just tell them we're being dodgy, but not the thing. But look how far, even just, so in the past 70 years since the Roswell crash, look how far technology's come in 70 years. Aliens, 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 aliens. Danielle, before we finish, Roswell crash, fact or fiction?
Well, it's fact, isn't it? It definitely happened. There was a crash in Roswell.
Yeah, there was a crash, and it was a UFO. It was an unidentified flying object. I don't necessarily know if I believe in the Roswell alien autopsy footage. I do believe there may be original footage there, because I imagine that is something that the military would want to be filmed.
Yeah, probably. Just for their own records and stuff, isn't it?
Yeah, if it's the first time you're putting an autopsy on an alien,
you're going to want to film it, yeah.
Yeah. Get that camera out, hon. I don't care if it's one of them ones you have to, like, manually roll.
Yeah, I feel, yeah, that definitely would have been done. Yeah, I do, yeah, there was a crash, I think, and it does make sense. And, I mean, lots of the witness statements and things like that that you can find online of people who actually went to the site and stuff like that, and like you say, that metal, it doesn't make any sense. And like the description of it as well, you know, like the person describes like what it feels like and stuff like that, and it's very like, well, that's quite vivid, that's quite detailed, so that inclines me to sort of believe it as well.
It doesn't incline me to sort of believe it, however, there is that thing, isn't there, that if you're lying, you have the tendency to be overly descriptive. So it does make you want to believe it, but there's also that thing is when you are lying, you're more overly descriptive because you're trying to convince someone with extra details.
I've always just assumed it was like the totally opposite way. Like the more vague someone is, you're like, you're lying.
No, like have you seen Macmillan's documentary?
Yeah, I love the McMillions. Yeah. It's so good.
Like in episode one or two when they're undercover and that guy's like, so I had my Time magazine that I purchased from this shop at this time, and I went to the beach and I leaned over at the beach and the magazine fell out my like, so much detail, it was so clearly rehearsed and was a lie. I believe there was an alien crash at the site, there was alien bodies, and the US government's going to come and arrest me right now.
Oh, careful, Dean.
Imagine if they were at my door like that.
Like the Men in Black.
What would you do if suddenly it was just like, and like, crying. I was gone?
I don't know what I'd do. I'd be really upset.
Hopefully I'll be back here on Monday. What are we doing on Monday?
So on Monday, Dean, we're going to be delving into the case file of Martin Luther King and his assassination.
I'm so excited for this one. And I say excited because I want to talk about him and I want to talk about all the good that he brought into the world. But there's a lot of things that we're going to talk about that aren't necessarily going to be nice, isn't there?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And there's lots of, there's just lots of shady things that were going on at the time. And again, the American government was really dodgy in between like the 40s through to like the 70s, really.
And now,
yeah, and even now, but there's just so many things that we can go through, like the MK Ultra things and, you know, Area 51 and stuff like that. There's loads of really dodgy things that the government were doing.
And you know what? I feel like MK Ultra is going to have to be a main episode because we couldn't do it as part of a Freaky Friday.
No, yeah, it would have to be a main episode because there's loads on it.
Thank you very much for tuning in this week. It's been a pleasure, as always. Join us on Monday where we're going to delve into the assassination of Martin Luther King. But in the meantime,
stay curious,
stay morbid, and we'll see you on Monday.
This has been an Audio Bear production, and our show tune is Half Mystery by Kevin MacLeod.